lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening, and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for episode 172.
What?
172.
Wow.
Did you not hear me?
No, I heard you.
Broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Song Talk Radio is a show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting.
That's right.
Brand new songwriters or established professionals, and on the show we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. Yeah. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the materialistic members of the Song Talk Radio
Another
Action
theme.
Team.
Here we go.
We have Red Brick Bruce.
What? Oh, hi.
We have Fabric Phil.
What?
I don't understand this theme.
It's materialistic materials.
Oh, okay.
And handling our social media onslaught tonight, Veneer Vanessa.
Oh, veneer. Yeah, yes. Okay, yeah.
Get it?
So, like, are you talking building materials?
Any material.
Yes. No. Okay. But it was a play on words because I said materialistic.
If there was Frank here, it would be flannel Frank, right? Flannel
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, flannel Frank, okay. Et cetera.
I'm very confused.
Okay, yes. Go ahead.
During the show, join in the conversation, send in your comments and questions and materials to Song Talk Radio on Twitter, and we'll share them in real time. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa's Facebook living as we speak, so if you're on Facebook, check us out. And please stop by our website, songtalk.ca, find out how you can be a guest on the show. Tonight, we have a special co-host and guest for a very special episode, the talented Melanie Peterson.
Yay.
Melanie has been described as Mary Poppins with a broken heart by the BBC. She's a Saskatoon-born, Toronto-based singer-songwriter blessed with a voice influenced by an early Joni Mitchell and an ability to imbue her vocals with a palpable emotion without going over the top. Could have been a faux pas.
Well,
she's
written.
Quickly becoming one of the brightest lights in Toronto's music scene. Welcome back to the show, Melanie.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having
What's
me.
What's the show about?
So last time Melanie was on the show was December 6, 2016, just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And she was doing a bunch of holiday songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had some really interesting pre-choruses in those songs.
Oh.
And it sort of inspired us. Well, we were already considering doing a show about pre-choruses, but
we've been considering it for 2 years.
We've been considering it for a while. But then we thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to get Melanie back in on the show because she's an expert at pre-choruses.
Yeah.
Tonight there's going to be, you're going to learn what a pre-chorus is, what it sounds like in a bunch of different songs. It's
so
great.
I've got a quick definition that I found on this little thing called the internet.
Well, that's never going to last. Pre-chorus.
That's on computers now, you know.
Yes, on computers
is it?
Now. A pre-chorus is a song section immediately following the verse, crafted to propel the listener both melodically and lyrically into the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Propel. Right.
Propel. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a lift.
Yeah. The interesting thing is on the Wikipedia page, they spent like an entire page just talking about the harmony, just talking about the chords.
What of a pre-chorus?
So it was kind of a limited view on
chords of a pre-chorus.
How you can change the chord, the bass chords in the pre-chorus. But I think like we can you can look at it in a number of ways. You can change chords, you can change melody, you can change lyrics, you can change.
But it's meant to be a build.
It's meant to be
a
build.
Is that what you think, Melanie?
Oh, definitely.
Is it,
build attention.
But it also serves as a bridge in a way, but not like a bridge.
But not an official bridge.
No.
Well, I think they're usually short. No. I mean, generally they should be about definitely less than 8 bars.
Yeah, usually two lines or 4 lines sort of thing. And the difference with a bridge is that pre-chorus usually occurs after every verse. So there could be two or more. Mm-hmm. Where bridge, there's usually only one.
That's true.
Right.
You can repeat the pre-chorus. And in fact, you repeat it each time you have a chorus.
Yeah.
Or you could leave it out for a surprise. Right?
Yes.
But generally, they don't.
Yeah, you could. You could. I mean, these are just the kind of general conventional characteristics.
Well, I know someone was saying one of the simplest pre-choruses is an Imagine, which is Imagine all the people living for today. And that's before the chorus. It's a really, really short, which I never really thought of before. But it is. It sort of
have to listen to that
occurs
again
the same way.
And see that. Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes it can just be one.
Oh, right, because the chorus, you could say, I'm a dreamer.
Yeah.
Oh, right, So it kind of sets you up, it kind of builds it up, builds tension, and the chorus is the release kind of thing?
Yeah, when you think about that, when you think about Imagine, I always considered that part the chorus and the You Can Be a Dreamer sort of a post-chorus. Because that is where the title comes in, and that is kind of the focus of the song.
To me, it doesn't, there's actually a song Because we're doing four songs today. One is Buddy Holly by Weezer. Then the one after that will be what? Light Your Way
By Beige Shelter.
Yes, which will be cool. And then there's
which we're familiar with.
Melanie's Song.
Yes. Been So Long.
And then Head Like a Hole, which is really interesting because I don't. That'll be interesting because I don't think that's actually a pre-chorus.
Okay.
All right. That's Nine Inch Nails.
That's Nine Inch Nails.
Because with Imagine, I think of, you know, the chorus, which I think chorus has to be kind of something that you'd want to sing along with. Whereas I don't know if people would want to sing along with
Head Like a Hole, Black as Your Soul, no. I'd Rather Die Than
Well, I'm talking about Imagine.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I skipped that. Yeah.
But like, I don't know if people would be singing along with Imagine All the People Living for Today. It feels like it's building up to something.
Ideally, you want people to sing along with the whole thing.
I'll get Paul on the line.
Yeah.
And Trent.
Well, I think you'd have to get John, because I don't think...
Well, Paul was there.
That's true. Maybe in that, actually, at that point, they may not have been. They weren't... Actually, no, Imagine is after the Beatles.
Yeah, it's post-Beatles.
That was solo.
I'll get Yoko on the line.
Yeah, get Yoko on the line. Maybe she knows something.
That's true, actually. She probably would know.
So I just want to go around the room and get everyone to say, what do you think makes a good pre-chorus, then?
Who's first?
Whoever wants to go first.
I'll go first.
Go first, Bruce.
I have no idea what to say, so I'm just going to ad-lib here.
Yes. How surprise question.
What, yeah.
What occurs to you when you hear a song and you go, wow, that was a great pre-chorus? What is it?
When it moves in a way that once you hit the chorus, it makes perfect sense that the pre-chorus happened the way it did. So it sets you up beautifully. What I consider a pre-chorus is extending the tension of the verse.
Mm-hmm.
So verses tend to be tension, and chorus tends to be release.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is says, not yet, no, not yet, no, not even yet, bang, right? So what you're doing is you're instead of doing another verse, you're going to a pre-chorus, which is slightly different. It also makes the song more interesting. It's a different color, right? Because if you have verse, chorus, bridge, those are the three main pop song structures. If you had a pre-chorus, you got something happening. Phil?
Yeah.
I will actually admit that until we started talking about this a few years ago, I had never really thought of the pre-chorus. And I may have actually used them, but it wasn't something that was conscious. I never really thought about that. I thought about the verse and the chorus and the verse-chorus. Because the way I learned how to write songs when I was really trying to be a songwriter is I just took all my favorite songs and really pulled them apart and listened to them over and over again and kind of wrote up, okay, four bars of this and two bars of that.
Yeah. You reverse engineered.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think most of the stuff didn't have pre-choruses because I was listening to a lot of early Beatles and I don't think they had pre-choruses.
Well, Neil would know.
Do they have a lot really of complicated stuff.
Yeah, with the Beatles, it's a little different because, especially their later stuff, like they played around with structure so much that it's kind of open to interpretation.
But I really like the early Beatles.
The early stuff. Yeah.
I'm much more of an early guy.
And maybe straight ahead rock and R&B don't go with the pre-chorus too much. I don't know. I haven't studied it.
It's something I just never.
What is it for you, Melanie?
What makes a good pre-chorus for me is if I think it's the chorus. And then they go to the chorus.
Oh, and talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then I'm like, wow, that's a good pre-chorus.
There was another song I was thinking about bringing in, which was Working for the Weekend by Loverboy. Please don't laugh. That song.
Working for the Weekend.
Because that's exactly what that song does. It hits the pre-chorus, and you think, this is so bloody catchy. This has to be the chorus. Then they amp it up again, and they amp it up again, and it's just like hook after hook.
What is the chorus, then?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we can...
To me, everybody's working for the weekend. Chorus. Yeah. What's a pre-chorus?
Oh, maybe by the end of the show you'll find it.
Maybe
on,
it's a post-chorus. I don't remember, but there are three distinct sections in that song.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and whether one of them is a chorus, one of them is a pre, one of them is a post, who knows? But
all right.
But the point is that they just keep amping up the energy each time.
Okay,
I think it's time for a song.
I think it is actually.
Let's go for a song. So we're going to start with
Buddy Holly. Now the one we all
this
decided to choose
Phil's
a song.
Pick.
This is my
this is
pick.
Phil's pick.
One is I love Weezer because their melodies are always interesting unusual, but they're catchy and they're poppy, which is a really difficult thing to do. And they've been pretty consistent all through their career.
They have been.
Who wrote this?
Rivers Cuomo.
Who's
the lead singer?
Shout out to the writer.
Yes.
This is a songwriting show. Right.
And this is, the pre-chorus is really clear, which is one of the reasons I took this. It has the woo-hoo and I know I'm yours. That's a really clear pre-chorus. I mean, it really kind of stands out. Whereas I thought, like, even Imagine, I thought kind of snuck by you with you really noticing
it. Yeah, and so certainly sometimes it's more subtle. But,
yeah, and then this has a very kind of sing-songy chorus. So I think it's really clear what the chorus is and what the pre-chorus is. So I thought it was just a very clear song.
And a good one, too.
So listen.
All right, here we go. What's with these homies dissing my girl? What a great tune.
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly by the band Weezer, songwriter Rivers Cuomo.
Yes, that the woohoo was really catchy, but
yes,
it was definitely not the chorus, which is...
So what did they do there? There was... Okay, obviously the woohoos that stand out pretty strong.
Yeah.
Did they change the chord there? Sounds like they went to a different... It wasn't the same chords as the verse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of change.
Shift?
Yeah. A shift there, right. Melodically, harmonically.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what shift it was.
No, not shift it was, but I'm just we can look at the changes in different dimensions, melodically, lyrically,
okay.
And harmonically, right?
Well, they went from straight ahead lyrics that made sense to woohoo. So
woohoo makes sense.
Woohoo, and they repeated it three times, right? So you know that this is kind of
it's a different
repetitive.
Section,
we're
sure.
getting into
well,
repeating to
I
hold
think
back.
The, I think the melody, or I think the verse is kind of in a minor key. You know, it certainly feels, or it might be in a mode, but it certainly feels
yeah,
minor.
It feels like it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the pre-chorus and the chorus are very major.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like it's, the chorus is actually just out and out poppy major.
Yeah, like a 1-4-5 kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, are we looking for, like, maybe commonalities in and differences in, you know, compare and contrast, like in English Lit?
Well, pretty much. I mean, in this one, too, so they had two of the pre-choruses. The lyric was the same both times.
Yes.
Well, it changes subtly.
It
goes, changes from a, but you know I'm yours, to a,
and
you
know
I'm yours. It continues the story quite nicely. You know,
okay,
it's
one
very
word
subtle.
Change. Yeah,
and
that's true.
It's not in these lyrics, but woohoo, and I know that you're mine. And the second time they go, and they know that you're mine.
Ah,
and
right.
So
well,
the, and then it gets the song gets a little bit like ugly, right?
Oh, right, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Bang, bang, a knock on the door, another big bang, and you're down on the floor.
Oh, this is about protecting the girl?
Yeah, yeah. Who's clearly a different culture or something like that, yes. Mm. It's a great story.
Yeah.
Well, your eyes are slit. You think that means she's from another culture, possibly?
That's what I think. That's what it means. And then people are...
Let's get Rivers on the line.
Yeah.
What's he talking about anyway? Yeah.
Well, that's what I like about Weezer. Their stuff is often very kind of... It's multi-layered.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's such a great pop tune, you know. But, I mean, it actually has a bit of darkness to it.
Oh, yeah. Your tongue is twisted. Could be an accent. Doesn't speak the language properly.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a guardian.
And then they're banging on the door, and somebody's on the, she's on the floor, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Oh, no.
Are you feeling sick? What's the matter?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Kind of good.
Well, interesting.
Maybe she caught a disease.
But it's interesting to take a... It's interesting to take a pop music icon like Buddy Holly and then a TV icon like Mary Tyler Moore and throw them together. I think that's kind of makes it fun. Apparently, the video is quite interesting.
The video is brilliant because Spike Jonze directed it, and they actually reconstructed the set from the 70s TV show. Is it a 60s TV show or 70s? I think it was a 70s TV show.
70s.
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Happy Days.
And they reassembled the cast.
They got one cast member back, but they cut in shots from the original Happy Days show.
Yeah, they rotoscoped it
in the restaurant and everything. Like, it was very well constructed.
Did you say rotoscope?
They rotoscoped
it. That's old. That's
80s. I don't know what the
that was before CGI. There.
Yeah, it's true. I think this might have been before CGI too. It's an older song. I don't know what year it is, but it's definitely an interesting song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the other thing about the Pre is that's where they bring in the Eye. They haven't brought in the Eye.
Oh yeah.
Actually, they do because Dis and My Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a tweet in from Rick Edwards. Say hi to Melanie.
Hi, Rick.
From Eddie Usman, please, and thanks. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, got anything to say about a pre-chorus?
He's good.
So what do you think the pre-chorus does in terms of this song?
I think it motors it along like we're talking. I mean, I think it ramps it up a little bit and gets you ready. I mean, the other thing you could think about is a lot of, you know, they say get to the chorus before 60 seconds or sometimes before 30 seconds in a pop song. Mm-hmm. What it does is it replaces verse two. Like, you've got a verse instead of doing a second verse, which is,
true.
Holds back, repeats. Yes. You're going one, two, three, rather than one, one, two, right? Or A, A, B. You're going A, B, C. So it really makes it really interesting because you're never going more than maybe 16 bars or whatever before you're changing mode into something different.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you're doing it again.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. So if you've written a song that has two verses, you could even reconsider the second verse with a different melody or a different chord or something to make it into a pre.
As long as lyrically it's something you want to repeat it before every chorus, because it's really attached. Lyrically, it should be attached to the chorus in a way, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It can certainly
open things up into the chorus. Yeah, it can lead in. It's supposed to lead and lead you into the chorus.
I think it also lets you get away with kind of shorter verses as well, because you know the pre-choruses are and the choruses are all the same in this song. It's just those two little verses that actually have changed. So it lets you get away with a shorter verse if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know. Whereas if that pre-chorus wasn't there, it would seem really kind of, I think, bare.
Yeah, the whole story wouldn't be in there, too, because he's talking about, but I know you're mine, and, you know, no matter what they think.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you can never go wrong with Weezer, I think.
Don't go dissing My Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's...
Actually, when you look at it again, like, they actually do kind of change the narrative in that pre, because then it's a little more personal in it.
Yeah.
The verses and even the chorus... is a little bit detached compared to the pre. The pre is really, you know, I'm yours. I know you're mine.
It's more emotional.
It's more emotional, right? Like, it's more personal.
It's interesting. They don't have really tight rhymes except really until the bridge.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Door, floor, do, shoe, kick, sick. Yeah, that's right. So again, kids, when you're doing a bridge, which that piece is kind of bridgy there.
It's very bridgy.
It's bridgy. It's a bridge, okay?
It's
we're just going to say it. We're Bridgables. Calling it now, it's a bridge.
Song
now, the results are in, and it's a bridge. But what I'm saying is, kids, we sound like, what's that guy, Don Cherry? Okay, kids.
Okay,
well, the thing is that they want to do, the writer wanted to do something different in the bridge.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. one difference is when you weren't rhyming, now you rhyme.
You rhyme.
Yeah.
In couplets.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Intense rhyme. I mean,
and
yeah.
and just go. A note about the bridge, in case anyone's listening in the UK, you guys call them bridges, we call them pre-choruses. We call them bridges, you guys call them middle eights.
That's yeah. right. That's
probably
right.
Middle eights.
They call bridges middle eights?
Yeah, well, middle eights are really better because the bridge is supposed to actually, in the classical music, is supposed to bridge between two melodies or two major sections.
Yeah, and pre-chorus is kind of weird because is it pre-chorus or is it post-verse? Like,
or post-modern. Yeah, or no, post-modern. I would say it's pre-chorus because it usually is attached to the chorus in some mm-hmm. thematic way, but not always. We'll find out with our next song, which is coming up now.
Next song is
Light Your Own.
All right, so this is, Neil, tell us about this song.
Well, this is Bruce's pick, which I'm very happy about because I wrote half of it.
Okay, so I have these two good friends, Adi Amon and Neil Modi, and they are a songwriting duo working in a band called Beige Shelter. And they released their first EP, would you say, or CD?
It was
a CD. It was a full 10 songs.
12 tracks.
Yeah. This past winter.
Yeah, and we were on the show back in November. So
and this is a song they released for Mental Health Awareness Week earlier in May. And I really liked the message of it, that people who are struggling will light your way. Your friends, the professionals, everybody's around you to help you. And it's a song about... that when it's cold and dark, you think there's no way out, we're going to light your way. It's basically the idea. And I liked the fact that it had a pre-chorus, and you can listen for it. You'll hear it. It comes just before the chorus. So why don't we listen to it, and well, then
actually,
you can hear.
But before, Bruce, or Neil, mm-hmm. tell us something about the writing of it. Did you guys intend to write the pre-chorus? Or
was it a mistake?
No, it wasn't a mistake. It certainly was. It was... I think, well, Adi had written a song originally, then he handed it to me and really asked me to look after improving the melody, but I kind of rewrote the whole thing based on what he had written.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the pre-chorus, I think it was just I had a number of things I wanted to say before the verse, and I didn't want to do, like you were saying, Bruce, I didn't want to do like three verses,
mm-hmm.
right? So I thought, well, why not? And the narrative does switch slightly there. It goes to a more of a you kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Whereas the verses are kind of in a...
We and I.
A we and I.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a slight difference lyrically, so I thought, well, why not change the chord, change the melody?
So it's a great song. Adi sounds great, and it's...
Yeah.
So listen.
Wrong. You got friends who'll help along your way.
And that was Let Your Way by Adi Aman and Neil Modi of Bay Shelter, produced by our very own Neil Modi. Nice job.
Hey, thank you very much. Ooh. And just a couple of heads up there that we had Tom Kaczynski, our bass player, on bass.
Yes.
And we had Paul Voss, who was a guest on our show a while back. He handled the lead guitar.
Nice.
Very nice. Tracks. Very
and
nice.
You built the drum track?
I built the drum track, and there was an electric piano in there. It was kind of quiet, but it was there.
Nice. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah, and a pretty clear pre-chorus, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, one of the things about this is that, okay, so the song is in C major.
Yes.
The verse is in C, the verse starts in C major, the chorus starts in C major. So if you're going to do a pre-chorus, I went to the D minor, and which is still in key, like it's just going to the two chord, but the other difference is you haven't heard the D minor yet. So, and the other chords in the chorus, A minor, G, and F, also occur in the verse, but to me, it's that first chord of the pre-chorus that signifies that, hey, there's something different going on here. Mm-hmm. We've entered a different section because you haven't heard that chord before.
Well, that's very cool. And you go to a D minor and an A minor. So, you know, you've got a little bit of minor thing happening there.
That's
which
true.
Which is a shift.
Right? And don't forget, you can actually get the lyrics.
Up on the
lyrics. Get the lyrics for all these songs on the show or on the show notes.
Yeah, songtalk.ca.
Well, they're up on the right on our website
the
right now.
Front page of the website, songtalk.ca.
And on the show notes.
Well, they will be on the show notes.
Yeah. Once we have the show notes done.
Do we have a tweet or an email coming
in
or something?
I think we should hear something cool first.
Oh, yes. You want to hear the halftime show. Okay. We're so slick with this station ID. Here we go. For those just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. That was called a dramatic pause.
Yes.
I learned that in theater. on CJRU 1280 AM in beautiful Toronto, it's going to be 30 degrees with the wind chill factor tomorrow. No,
the wind chill factor?
Humidex or something. who believes it anyway? We're streaming on songtalk.ca/live-stream. And tonight, it's all about the pre-chorus with our special guest, Melanie Peterson. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or email us at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts on during the show. And you can find links to all our products, books, web services we mention on Song Talk Radio, on our resources. Is it resources or resources?
Yes.
Yes, both. At songtalk.ca/resources. That's a Texan version there. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, it's so exciting, we have May 23rd, producer and composer extraordinaire Bob Wiseman,
yay,
a Canadian legend.
Oh.
And May 30th, we have Laura Ryan.
Oh, goody.
And June 6th, he's coming back with a sitar, he promised.
Yes.
Jordan Paul.
Yeah, he's going to do some ambient tracks.
And by the way, Jordan is at the Libertarian Thursday night this week with Eric Sorensen's open mic.
He's the feature act. Oh, brilliant.
Okay, why are you saying everything I'm saying?
He's great.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
And that's what Ed McMahon used to do to Johnny Carson. All they do is repeat what Johnny... Yes. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup. Notice the name change there. It's called Songwriters. Okay. It's called Songwriters Meetup. It used to be called, we were working in under a name Songwriters Cafe or Roundtable. We're now under the name Songwriters Meetup, and we have a new page on Meetup called Songwriters Meetup, and just go there and have a look. And we have a get together Sunday. Well, it's a meetup actually. Sunday, May 28th. From 1 to 4 at the Transact Club, as usual. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalks.ca/meetup for all the details on how to sign up.
Yes.
So if you want to be a part of our communications, please sign up on our meetup page and also register to come to one of our meetups. So we know you're coming. We'll have enough tea.
Yes.
Right.
It's important to sign up because when you meet people there and you want to connect with them or they want to connect with you, it's easy for them to find you.
You may find your next songwriting partner.
Exactly.
Yes, definitely.
Lover.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think we've had any marriages yet from that.
No, just some sordid affairs.
did we mention the fact that Blair Packham's new...
He's dropping
his
EP
release.
Do
it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
On Thursday, he's going to be... His first album in, Melanie, you said?
15 years?
I thought it was 13 years.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Give them
somewhere around there.
It's a long time.
So where's the party, Phil?
I believe it's at the Pilot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's at
the Pilot Tavern on Cumberland.
Which has been around since the beginning of time, as far as I can tell.
It's a bit like Friends.
Yes, I think that was the first bar I went into underage.
Ah.
That's how old it is, folks.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's how old it was, folks.
A while back.
So that's Thursday night, and Blair Packham is dropping his new album there.
Yes, it's called Unpopular Pop.
And, hope it doesn't break.
Yes, we'll be sending out some links to that. He's always a great performer.
And another one of our superstar guests, Braden Mitchell, who's been on the show a number of times, he just dropped a new EP. Six tracks, which is really, really good. It's up on Spotify and Apple Music and
they use
everywhere. Stuff.
And I think the CBC used his photo of him in performance to talk
about the Dakota. Yes.
Just another example of the Song Talk Radio bump. You come on Song Talk Radio, you become...
Great things happen.
That's right.
Melanie, be prepared for that
be
in
prepared.
The coming days.
I am prepared. Yeah.
And if you listen to the show that he was on, the songs he played on the episode are what's on the EP release.
That's right.
They are two of those songs.
Yeah, and Brayden's a really interesting guy because like he just dropped this EP now. And I think the songs that are on this EP, he did on the last time he was on the show and even on the show before that. So like he's the kind of guy who doesn't – unlike Beige Shelter, for example, we wrote that song in a month and then whipped it up and got
he
it
He takes
out.
His time.
He takes his time. He massages them. He really – puts in the effort to make sure they're
ready.
That's true.
He works like a real professional songwriter.
He does.
So we got some input from our real-time input from our audience, Mr. Mike McInnes, our good friend.
Hey, Mike.
If you have a song with a lot of words in it, a pre-chorus with a tiny lift, so it can add a variation to what might otherwise come to sound a bit monotonous. Springsteen used this technique often on his first two albums, Greetings from Ashbury Park and The Wild, The Innocent, and The E Street Shuffle.
Ah,
thank you, Mike. Always you filled with tons of facts.
And then that's exactly what I was saying about Light Your Way is that I had a number of things I wanted to say before I got to the chorus, so why not introduce a pre?
Yeah.
To give it a bit of a shift.
Hey, look at the time. It's time for another song.
I think it is.
How about Melanie Peterson? Yes.
All right.
She's here. Why not have her do a pre-chorus? A song with a pre-chorus.
Might as well just do it live then.
So did you intend to put a pre-chorus in this?
I did. It was a conscious decision. For sure.
Why?
I don't know. Just because I felt like I'd written a whole bunch of songs without one. And I thought, oh, it's time to write a pre-chorus.
I don't think I've ever written a pre-chorus.
Well, you have to.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah. It's fun.
I'm inspired now.
Yeah.
Okay. And Neil's going to join Melanie on the cajon.
Cajon. Good. It's the cajon.
It's made by Pearl, the drum people.
They make drums.
Yeah, I know. They're famous. I didn't know they make cajons.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a little name dropping there.
He's got the cajons. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
It's hard to say how this came to be, lying here with you, so close to me, caught up in your arms, tangled in your sheets, lying so close, I can feel you breathe, and I don't know how you did it, but you really caught my eye. No, I don't know how you did it. Once bitten, twice shy, you woke me up, brought me back to life, let me out into the sunlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. Now I'm knocking at your door, scene of the crime, I'm pulling you out into the moonlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. I open up like never before, when I'm in your arms, behind closed doors, I'm as free as air, high as a kite, never felt so real, never felt so right. And I don't know how you did it, but you really healed my pain. No, I don't know how you did it, lit a fire in my veins. You woke me up, brought me back to life, let me out into the sunlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. Now I'm knocking at your door, scene of the crime, I'm pulling you out into the moonlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. Falling, I'm falling. Falling for you, you woke me up, brought me back to life, let me out into the sunlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. Now I'm knocking at your door, scene of the crime, I'm pulling you out into the moonlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. You woke me up, brought me back to life, let me out into the sunlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. Now I'm knocking at your door, scene of the crime, I'm pulling you out into the moonlight. Been so long since my heart crossed my mind. It's hard to say how this came to be, lying here with you, so close to me.
Yeah, ooh. Nice song.
Thank you.
That was Been So Long by Melanie Peterson right here live in the Song Talk Radio studio.
What a great song. Oh, by the way, we just got a tweet in from Sharon. Great song, Neil. It's all about the story. Thank you, Sharon, for that.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great song. I love the pulling you out into the moonlight. It has a wonderful kind of rhythm to it.
Oh, good.
To the moonlight. That was, I thought that was really tasty.
Nice.
And and I thought the line, I've been so long since my heart crossed my mind. What it's always the hardest thing is to find new ways of saying these very common common emotions that we've all had. And that's,
right,
and
say
you know,
them differently.
Yeah, you know, and that's always, and that's of course the thing about, they always say about art is that it reinterprets the common to make it new and reinterprets the new to make it common. To make it approachable.
I haven't heard that before. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was your process here when you're doing the pre-chorus?
Well, I wanted to move the story along, and I wanted to change up the rhyme scheme.
Yes.
Because I do keep the chords the same, but I changed the melody, and I changed the rhyme scheme.
Yes.
Oh.
So to make it different and to add hopefully a little bit of tension.
Yeah, I mean, the melodic lift certainly does it.
Yeah.
And it's repeated.
Yeah.
Like in the pre-chorus, it's the same melody on each line.
That's right.
So yeah. What if, are you open to feedback?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because this is a feedback show. I would have put a little variation on the end of the pre-chorus just to make it build a little more melodically.
Yeah, probably,
because it was a four-time repeat, and I would have done a tacit between Once Bitten, Twice Shy, because you do a beat.
Like a little
and it,
break?
Yeah, a tacit, a silence, right?
Yeah.
Because you go Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Yeah.
I would have gone Once Bitten, boom, boom, Twice Shy, to let the Once Bitten sink in.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I really like the song. It's very sweet because it's that, like, you know, being in love again and in going out into the moonlight. It's got all these images, like Phil was saying, that are images of, you know, that have been used before, because let's face it, we're all going to be using the same language unless you're writing in French, right? The same,
yes,
same words and images, but you've got some shifts there, which I like, you know.
Yeah, and I changed the pre-chorus, like, intentionally as well the second time.
Yes, yeah, a fire in my veins. Yeah,
try to just add a little bit more to the story.
Cool.
Like in a subtle way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's always, I mean, some pre-choruses, they repeat verbatim.
Yeah,
and
that's
sometimes
usually what I do, too.
Yeah, and most of the time, I think pre-choruses repeat verbatim, but you can have different lyrics, for sure. Usually the melody's the same.
Yeah, it has to be, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing has to be, but yeah. Usually it is the same. But
there's a lot of words to the song.
Oh, my God, yeah.
it's like two full columns on this page.
Seriously.
It's like, it's a lot. I think you write more song. You've written more words in this one song than I write in about five of mine.
Yeah, I know. It got really wordy.
I'd like to ask you about your use of sayings. I'm not going to say cliches, but sayings. There's a lot of sayings here, in here, right? Which is cool. But we usually talk about, so for example, free as the air, high as a kite, scene of the crime, even into the moonlight would be used a lot. knocking at your door. So there are these phrases that people have heard before. Mm-hmm. So as a songwriter, when you come across the choice to put that in or not put it in, you're obviously an accomplished songwriter, so you know what you're doing.
Right.
That you know it's been used before as a saying or whatever.
Yeah.
So what's your thought in putting it in? Not that it's wrong, but it's a choice, right?
Well, the free as air, high as a kite was definitely a conscious choice. I wanted to have something like that going on there, I remember. Mm. The knocking at your door, I wanted to have an action.
Mm.
I felt like when you hear people doing things in songs,
like a sound?
It invites the imagination. Mm.
True.
Pulling you out into the moonlight. You can see it. Becomes visual.
And
so
I like
he's leaving on the midnight train in Georgia.
Right.
Yeah, but you're using a lot of the senses too, right? The feel of the sheets and
right.
I feel you breathe. That's really beautiful for two people together. Caught my eye, and so you're involving all the senses like a good novelist, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, you have a word here which is I think must be one of the hardest words to actually sing, which is arms.
Arms
is a really weird word,
you
know.
Arms,
so I did a song called, These Two Arms, and it's a really weird. When you start saying the word arms a lot, it's a very odd word.
You don't
word.
Know why that
arms,
word exists. It's
arms,
not a real word. But
arms,
you know, if you say it British, you say arms.
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 Or American. Arms.
Arms. Yeah, so it's
you know, so if you say Canadian,
say.
Like if you're a country singer, you'd say, I've got you in my arms to stay.
That works then.
And that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But you have to soften it a bit probably, which I think you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have too much trouble with that word, but there are words that I stumble.
It's a tough. I think it's a
like
tough
for similitude. That I find that really
for similitude.
Hard to sing that one.
All the kids are using that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's speaking of kids, I want to point this out. I was listening to the new Drake song, and this is just a general songwriting thing. There is no actual melodic change between the verse and the chorus. And I've heard this in a couple of different of the modern songs. So I guess this is kind of like a modern style where it's not like there's like a to the chorus, we always think there's a lift, there's a jump. And it's not. It's almost like the exact same.
It's more like
melody.
Stay in the groove, stay in the trance.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But a beat, strong
except
beat.
That it's not a trance.
not a trance.
It's not like a it's a new Drake. It's as dancey as any of his stuff. I never think of Drake especially.
No, I didn't say dancey. I said trancy.
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 Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, because do you think maybe like some writers think it's too showy offy and old fashioned to have a big melody happening? Like it'll be too
that
old fashioned.
That could be part of it.
Well, definitely
from rap too, right? And that's
yeah.
not
a
big
really
melody,
melody
there.
Bass.
Well, and it's, if you do listen to the old songs, like somewhere, that's a huge leap.
Yeah.
Whereas
Octave.
I think when you listen to most of the melodies, they don't kind of there's not those big jumps anymore. They're actually very very narrow.
Maybe it has to do with the singer as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
It's also maybe the style. I mean, there was in the 80s, there was definitely a style of music. You know, there's a different style of the melody, so maybe this is just
there are modern acts that are, granted, they're kind of to a limited extent copying stuff from past, but they have melodic lifts.
Yeah. But generally, would you say in the rap area that they tend to stay a little more static?
Well, like
Melanie
was saying, rap is not really melody based, so they're not going to have that much of an expanse.
Yeah, even when there's a melodic part, like I was thinking of that one by Macklemore. Same Love, about they had that lady singing the bridgey part or the melodic part.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a big melody. It was subtle, very sweet and subtle. Maybe they just don't want things to move around too much. But give me a melody.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if this is a stylistic thing, which kind of will end in like 4 years, or if it's going to be longer,
perhaps.
But,
right, we have a final song.
Now, this
song
is an interesting song. I want to talk about this because now,
wait a minute.
Neil brought this in as an example, as a pre-chorus, and I don't think this actually is a pre-chorus.
Oh, we're going to become an American show and have a fight now.
All right.
Get the chairs.
Get the chairs out. I got my cajon.
Because this is Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
And
Trent Reznor.
Head Like a Hole, I think, is the chorus.
Yes, it is.
Right, but No, You Can't Take It's the pre-chorus.
But No, You Can't Take It is the pre-chorus.
Have a listen.
Okay.
Have
I
a listen.
Okay,
Yeah.
Well, let's
you were thinking that was a versey thing, but listen, it's quite different.
Yeah, okay. Let's
and by the way, it's God.
God.
Lyrics are on the site.
Okay.
On
is.
His site. Yeah, it's gone now.
Well, it is. That was Head Like a Hole by the band Nine Inch Nails, songwriter Michael Trent Reznor.
That was from, like, what, 1989?
That was 1989. This was their very first album, Pretty Little Hate Machine, what's it called? Pretty Hate Machine? Yeah.
That was a big hit, too.
Yeah, this was a big hit.
So let's talk about, first of all, Neil, this God Money, because you can't tell that from the listening to it that it's G-O-D. Do you read anything about what they meant by that, or do you know?
I always took this song to be just defiance against authority. So the, you know, how organized religion can get occupied by money. So
Making money a god? That's the other interpretation,
money has become the new god.
So, and that maybe what he was doing is negotiating with a record company at the time, when they used to have record companies,
perhaps.
Right?
Seriously.
It's
an interesting song. Okay,
So I want to know from Phil why you didn't think that was a pre-chorus.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, because the No You Can't Take It is that a way, could be a pre-chorus, but to me that's really tied to the verse, even though it does... It does repeat, but it didn't feel like a pre-chorus, not the way Buddy Holly did. Listening to it, but when you sort of said that's a pre-chorus, it is, because it does repeat. I mean, it's interesting because there's really only two parts that actually have any variances, which is a very short four-line verse, and the rest of it is actually kind of repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. I mean, it's a great tune.
It's a rock song. It wasn't meant to be literature. Was it?
But it's like, it's an interesting...
Yeah, if that's the writer, then.
So we have the Head
Like
the Hole.
I'll get him on the line.
So we have like the Head Like the Hole, which is definitely a chorus. You know, but then they have the bow down.
Which I'm preferring to call a post-chorus at this point, because it's after the chorus. It's another section that's different again.
Yeah.
So
it's almost as catchy as the chorus, too.
It is. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, is it a second chorus? But
I think when they play it in concert, they start with the bow down section, like in a cappella kind of thing. And then they bring the beat in and all that stuff, right? But but the interesting thing about the pre, too, is that it's the same beat, it's the same rhythm, it's the same chords as the verse, but it's just the melodic difference and the lyrical difference that, to me, makes it...
It's not as clear as a pre-chorus in terms of the build, to me, because it's so repetitive. Like, it does, you know, you can't take it, no, you can't take it, no, you can't, then it repeats it all again. So it's not really moving you quickly towards it, it's kind of... sitting there, repeating, and it clearly, there's a clear break into the chorus, because the other guitars come crashing in. From a production standpoint, they just come crashing in. But there's not much melodically happening differently in the chorus, is there? Not really?
Not a heck
just
of a
louder.
Lot.
It's more intense.
It's more intense, yeah, for sure.
Well, no, I mean, the with the chorus, I mean, the chorus is very sing-songy, and it's definitely a different melody.
Head like a hole, black as your... See, this is one of the many bands I didn't listen to at all in the late 80s, early 90s. It wasn't my taste, but I can see that there's some talent in here.
Oh, he's a very talented.
And just as a production note, did you notice that when he repeated the chorus, he did his own voice down and up, just an octave? Like he did.
He doubled it.
He doubled it, but down an octave.
Right.
That's so underneath, amazing. And they're doing that a lot. Bieber's been doing that, and a couple, Shawn Mendes, some of the pop singers now, they're just doubling their voice, but down an octave. So it's not a harmony, but your two voices going there in parallel. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, and that's not a new thing by any stretch.
It's not a new thing. No. Yeah. It's new to me. Has that been done for decades?
I've heard it before.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Beautiful South has done it quite a few. I know Soundgarden did it a lot. I think.
Oh, okay.
We should always remember that also, this is the guy who wrote...
The
Hurt. You know, which was covered by Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, so he's definitely a very talented songwriter, I think.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. I must admit, until you pointed it out, I wouldn't have actually assumed this was a pre-chorus, because I would actually argue that it is not.
What would you argue that it is then?
I think it's part of the verse. And I think because it feels like it's part of the verse, I think it's part melodically. It's part of the verse.
So it's just a B. It sounds like a verse B.
Yeah, it's it's kind of like it's a build-up, but it's not really a.
All of this stuff is conjecture, right? Because I mean, you listen to the thing, and it's like it's kind of like somebody creates. You know, God made a bird, and you go, "Well, that's a wing." Well, it's not really a wing; it's a winglet. You know, and it's like you know, the guy created something really,
well,
really strong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's more than semantics. Giving a name to things after the creation of it, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know because Trent's not here. Like, normally we have the songwriter here, and he would say, "Oh no, I call that my pre-chorus, right?" So I will be in touch.
Once someone writes the song and releases it to the world, then it belongs to everybody
else.
That's
what we should do when we have an artist from who's like outside of our milieu. We should just tweet them during the show and say, what's up, buddy?
Too. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trent, if you want to be on the show, just go to the website and fill out the form.
See if you qualify.
And, you know, we'll definitely let you on. You know?
Yeah, and if Rivers Cuomo, if you meet him at the mall or anything, he's welcome to come on the show, too.
Yes, well, because I think I'm hearing that...
The band is here.
Yes, the outro band's coming in.
Yes. They want to go home.
Well... I think we have to do a show on the chorus next time.
Oh, definitely.
We haven't done the chorus yet.
Yeah, well,
we did bridge.
We did bridge. I mean, the thing with the pre-chorus is that not everyone always throws in a pre-chorus. So
that is true.
My hope is that once you listen to the show, now you can become more aware of it.
Yeah.
And like all the songs that you learned yourself on, Phil, you probably go back to those ones. You probably will pick up a few pre-choruses.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, we're out of time.
I think so.
All right.
I think you should probably wrap up the show, Neil.
That's my job, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
That's
just
all the time we have on
Songtalk.
He's
just looking around the studio going,
fast. I thought it was Phil doing it. I don't know why. We love to thank our guest co-host tonight, Melanie Peterson.
Thank you
for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Beautiful song. And all of you out there, send us your impressions via Twitter at Songtalk Radio, email feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube, Songtalk Radio. Stop by the site, songtalk.ca. Sign up for the Songtalk Radio podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter, songtalk.ca.
Find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show at our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Meetup, new name, Songwriters Meetup, on Sunday, May the 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join a meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details.
Go to that brand new page.
Brand new page, new branding, and new name. Same host, though.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for putting up with all our shenanigans.
Thank you.
Michael Newton, the technical officer here, program director Alyssa Matthews. Thank you, guys. We'd love to thank Vanessa Reland for deftly handling our social media channels.
We'd like to thank Sharon and Mike and Rick for sending us some tweets.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, you guys. And thanks to Phil for doing double duty on the tech tonight.
No problem.
Shuffling around. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil at
The Phil Emery.
Bruce.
Bruce Harrett.
Vanessa.
_Vanessa.
And Melanie.
At Miss Water Melanie.
That's the cleverest. And you can follow me on neomodi_.com. Please stop by the website, songtalk.ca. Browse past shows. Find out who you can be a guest. That's all, folks. Tune in next week. Same song channel. Good night.
Good night.